one of my favorite topics the last few years. I emailed you guys, actually, Peter, I need to get your email too. Today's outline is actually 7 pages. I thought it was safe. Instead of printing, I'll go over today, but next week we'll print it out. I've emailed actually the next few weeks outline. The last time I've talked to this was about probably 4 years ago with our church. But you guys know like Batman, the movie, there's a reboot, right? I'm not talking about the new one. It gets better. Hopefully, Lord willing, it's better. So I did adapt it and change it a little bit and tinkered with it than what it was before. So if you guys go through it, it is a few pages. It'll be the next few weeks already set out. We'll look at singleness, and after singleness, we will look at also a Christian view of relationship. Were you going to say something, John?
Yes.
So to begin with, like I said, this is a topic I am passionate about. I am excited. But before we talk about boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, I've always felt a long time ago, I talked to somebody that listened to a famous preacher named Mark Driscoll. Some of you guys know Mark Driscoll? You don't have to know. You guys do know. He talks a lot about relationship too. Actually, he talks a lot about Christian view of sex and everything else, what the Bible has to say. And I remember a long time ago, I was in seminary. Someone told me that he liked listening to his message, except for one thing. The guy was single. So he listened to all how good a Christian view of marriage is, and he felt every time it was over here, the audio was, he was always thinking, oh man, but I'm single, how bad, I can't wait to be, you know, to get married with someone or be in a relationship, and every time it just ends up very sad. And I thought, like, wow, what a sad story. And then, you know, here's a guy who's supposed to be a man of God, a future pastor, who is sharing this. So afterward, I thought about it. I think it is important that when we talk about relationship, before we even talk about boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, one person's hair grew very long, the other one lost his hair.
He found the hair that had been lost.
Yeah, okay. So, going back on with the topic tonight, we are talking about a biblical or Christian view of relationship, but I thought it was good and important. The last thing I want is people to hear, like, week after week, you know, every single Thursday, you come here, you say, oh yeah, I can't wait to have the perfect boyfriend or perfect girlfriend, and then go back and say, oh, I'm single, I don't have no relationship, and then you go back and you feel miserable, because I actually think the Bible has to say also about singleness. And it has a lot to say about that. So with that, I think it's important that before we do anything else, before we talk about anything else about singleness and everything else, I think this message is important. And I think for the foundation beginning, I know we don't have the, page 2. If you guys just have your Bible, let's turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. Now, this passage here does not directly talk about singleness or relationship, but I think this passage in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27, is actually the foundation for everything else that we're talking about. Again, our goal in our life, yes, if you're single, you want a relationship. If you're in a relationship, you want the relationship to please God. And if you are married, like I am, you should not want to be single, vice versa, right? Our goal is not to say, oh, the side that looks greener on the other side, is to say, no matter what we do, no matter where we are at, if you're single, like totally single, nobody in your life, or you're single in the sense that, like a Pringle, you know, like when you eat Pringles, you never eat it alone, right? You grab a whole bunch, like in the sense that you are in a relationship, but you're not married yet, or if you're in relationship, you're engaged, or if you're also married. I can't say the word engaged without smiling, I don't know why. But also, if you are also married, also as well. The goal is in everything, we have to be biblical in all that we do. That is, we want to obey what God's Word says. Does God's Word have to say anything about singleness? Yes, because you guys should already know, because I'm saying for the next few weeks. And the Bible also has to say a lot about marriage, also as well. So,
with the phrase wrong, is the grass is greener on the other side.
Yeah, the grass is greener on the other side. I didn't say that phrase yet. But okay, we will look first. Let us read around Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. We'll have David Chu read verses 24 to 25. And Anthony Chen, with big boy, with Marine Corps, Hooyah boys, read me verses 25, 26, and 27. 26 and 27. What? We need the first two verses first. Take
okay. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. and on the rain, and the rain fell, and the flood came, and the wind blew, and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been found on the rock.
And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand.
Yeah, if you're...
And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it.
So, my main point to make is eventually to lay the foundation down, what I'm doing for the next, hopefully, 30 minutes or less. And afterward, I also want to go over why the Bible says singleness is not always necessarily a bad thing. But in everything, I think when we look at what the Bible has to say about relationship or things, our goal should be, we're going to see the Bible has things to say about being single. The Bible has things to say about being married. The Bible has things actually to say even about in relationship. But sometimes we might read it and say, oh, I don't like it. Oh, this is more, we have to obey, listen to God. I think the whole point is to say, hey, you know, no matter where we're at, we have to obey God's word first, okay? Because we have many reasons why we should listen to God. God is our creator, right? As creator, he made us, even though we don't have to exist. He showed his love for us. And out of that love for he had for us, we love him back, and we say, yeah, I want to obey with it. Now, what's the weather like outside? It's raining, right? So it's a beautiful imagery that we see of this illustration that it pulls here, right? Wherever you are at in your life, it's important to obey God's word. In this picture, in verses 24 to 27, we actually see two similar situations, right? That there's going to be a situation where rain is going to come upon two groups of people. Two very different individuals with two very different foundations of how they build the house with two very different results. Now, I want to look at this lesson in the beginning part to lay the foundation is, why do we want to go over God's word and obey God's word in relationship? Is I think if you go by God's word, if you honor his principle, listen, I also believe even non-Christians, if they go by God's principle, of course, we want them to believe in Jesus, but if they obey even the rules, I think sometimes God bless them also as well. If they obey the principle of God in when it comes to relationship and marriage itself. So we want to obey so that God will actually bless us. What we also see from this passage, if we don't do things God's way, if we're doing things foolishly, there could be consequences also as well. Even right now, like the relationship would be bad, or the marriage and everything else, or even the singlehood also as well. Now, the first part is, I think we see the consequences of obeying God's word is that it gives us wisdom. We see it in verses 24, 25. 24, 25, could Ben Chung read that again? Just for obey with you.
Sure, Matthew 7, 24, 25. Mm-hmm. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock.
Okay. So, by way of context, this is Jesus Christ preaching here, right? If you guys have a red letter edition Bible, this is all red letter because it symbolizes Jesus spoke these words. He preaches on the Sermon on the Mount. And in teaching, the very first thing here he described is one who is a doer of the word is called, if you notice in verse 24, a wise man, right? Everyone who hears a word of mine and puts them into practice. Not enough just to hear God's word, to hear da-da-da and go one ear and not the other. But if you actually practice it or do it itself, what does it say? He's like a wise man, right? So if we obey God's word, even in the area of singleness or relationship or marriage, if you practice it, the Bible says, Jesus says, you're a wise man. And then it draws an imagery. It's like one who builds his house on the rock, right? Whose foundation is rock, or it's a good foundation. And notice in verses 25, the rain came down, the stream rose, and the wind blew against that house, yet it did not fall because it has its foundation on the rock. Notice the word on the rock is mentioned twice in verse 24, 25 for emphasis. The situation is described, the imagery is that, hey, if you obey God's word, you're like someone who built your house wisely on good foundation. And when the rain does come, as it is today, right? We are in a house that is good foundation, yes? Or hopefully, right? Or at least get enough foundation where, you know, with the rain and everything else, it's not crumbled down upon us right now. Now, I know we live in Southern California, that's not the most big deal in the world. But in the Midwest, where there are floods, I mean, hurricanes and stuff, that's a major big deal, right? So, go ahead.
The house. The architect is a commercial architect, so he put extra rebar into the foundation and everything. And then when the contractor saw, it's like, you don't need that. That's just extra money, extra metal in the house. And I thought, Well, the Bible says you should make your foundation good, so man, okay, we'll leave all that metal in there.
Okay, that's good. So if we have an earthquake and my house fall down, I know I'll come here. Okay. So yeah, and notice the situation, right? It's described the analogy of the rain and the torment of the weather beating upon the house. And what is the result? We see that in the second half of verse 25. Yet it did not fall because its foundation was on the rock. And thus they survived. The guy who was wise survived the situation. Now I think this is the same way also as well. We obey God's word, even in the area of singleness or relationship, because that's the wisest thing. I think some of you guys might know him. You guys know Andrew's friend, the old pastor before I was the pastor, who was a guy named Andrew Chu. Do you remember his friend Walter? Some of you guys remember him? Tell me a little bit about Walter. Do you know anything about Walter? Do you know who
Walter is?
He's a Caucasian guy, kind of bald. So if he comes to our church, it's kind of noticeable. Stick out in True Chinese Lions Church. What do you know about him?
He helped pay for, I think, an orphanage in Thailand. And then he had a new car, and he bought a new car, and then his family at their church needed a car. And instead of giving them his old beat up car, he gave them his new car.
Yeah, that's some of those things I remember. He's a great Christian guy. Actually, one of the things that I always remember most about him, it's funny you mentioned those things, that the first one I didn't even know. The number one thing I remember him is, he's actually a single guy. He's actually an older guy. But not that I remember it, it's for the fact that, you know, like, there could be two reasons why you're single. Okay, I want to say this. There's one reason is because it's yourself. There's something wrong with you. Nobody likes being around you, right? I'm not talking about even boyfriend or girlfriend. You're just weird, right? Hopefully that's not who we grow up to be. Like, we're sinful. Because I think being sociable is actually is an issue of godliness too. Is how do you understand and value other people? How do you love people? Will determine how you treat other people, right? Now, with this, we also see that the reason why Walter is single, I would say, is not because, oh, you know, he's ungodly. Actually, he's a very godly man, and he has very high standards. And there's several relationships he's been in, and sometimes it didn't work out, and where he decided, you know what, because it wouldn't work out, I would rather be faithful to God and be single, rather than compromise and sin and everything else. I would actually say he's a man, if you talk to him, he would say that he's incredibly blessed. Even though, yeah, you might say, oh, marriage is only blessing. I would actually say no. But you could be single and be blessed first, okay? So the issue before us is, will you submit to God's word and practice him even in the area of singleness or relationship? But I want to address this, especially for those that are single. Because I don't want it to be where, in the world today, where people are like, oh, I have to be in a relationship or else people think I'm weird. Right? But the number one thing is we need to obey God's word. But notice also in verses 26 to 27, we also see the consequences of disobeying the word of God is described as foolish. Verse 26 of Matthew 7, could I have Lim with your newly pronounced name? Verse 26, could you read verse 26?
So, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand.
Yeah. I like verse 26. It says, everyone who hears these words. So there's no doubt, whoever this second group is, they've heard the word of God. Except the difference between the first group is what? He does not put them, or they did not put them into practice, right? In other words, it goes one ear out the other. And as a result, he's described as what? As a foolish man. Someone who's not that bright. Someone who, actually the Bible describes, not just only he's not that bright, but he's also willfully ignorant, right? He's willfully being ignorant. It's not just he didn't know, but he is ignorant in the sense that he is foolish, that he should know, and yet he doesn't apply. And it was the consequences. Same situation, right? The rain came down, the stream rose, the wind blew and beat against the house, and it fell against great crash. Same situation. But notice the consequences, because this house is not described, not built as on rock. But the foundation is what? Is sand. Notice what's the consequence. What is the result? Because he did not live by the word of God. Verse 27. Talk to me.
So, are you basically saying, like, say 26 and 27 is like similar to you? The one proverb that you always refer to, the opposite of Proverbs 31:28. I am foolish.
Verse 32. Yeah. Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay, but let's look back to the text right here, right? What is the immediate result? Yeah, we'll bring that joke later. Verse 27, what is the result as a result of them not being based upon the Word of God? It fell, right? It fell with what?
A great fall.
Yeah, a great fall, right? A great crash, right? And that's what happens when there's foolishness, because the foundation wasn't based upon the Word of God. So ask yourself, between these two people, who do you want to be? Do you want to be one who will eventually end with self-destruction? Or would you want to be one who survived not only the situation, but are blessed by it, right? I think most of us want to be blessed instead of self-destructing, yes? So as a result, we have to go by what? According to Jesus' word. We have to listen to who? Whose word? To Jesus, right? Now, I want to lay this down because in the next few weeks, and I know I'm dealing with counseling with different people and looking at my own heart, when we talk about romance, when we talk about liking someone, it's very, very hard when you like someone already to say no, right? Unless like that person is like a total jerk, right? Most of the time it's kind of hard, and when you realize what the Bible says, maybe this is not a good relationship to get into, I see oftentimes people say, you know what, I want to, because it makes me feel so good, right, to be in love. It makes me feel so good to click on Facebook and load pictures up, or whatever else it is, right? But it's important to realize the Word of God makes it very clear. It might be happy in the beginning, but you want to always obey God, because in the end, if you disobey God, it could only bring about harm and hurt. And I would say unnecessary harm and unnecessary hurt that you brought upon yourself out of disobedience to God. So this is the foundation. So this week and next week, having laid that, if you guys are following along still, if you happen to have the outline like Ben would. So like I said earlier, for those of you guys who just came in, print this out. I've already emailed you guys, like, I don't know, like about 15 pages worth of the outline for the next few weeks. Print it out and bring it to yourself. I think that way it'll be each one's responsibility, rather than when I print something out and say, hey, there's a whole bunch of left, why don't you get one? And I say, no, I don't need it anymore. Oh, and then, you know, I go home, heart crush and everything else. And you know, so in order to avoid painting your pastor's heart and for him to cry in the middle of the night, as a result, I think it'll be good. So you guys print it out yourself, feel the pain of the printout, and then say, hey, you know what, I'll bring it home and everything else. Okay? So, as a result, and we go back on, this week and next week, after laying the foundation, we want to obey God's word no matter what first, okay? Do you guys hear me, right? Say, we want to obey God's word no matter what. Say.
We want to obey God's word no matter what.
Okay, I can't hear you.
God's
no, I was kidding. I'm just messing.
Very loud.
Yeah, I know. Okay, so we'll go back on. The goodness of being single, right? Is what I'm going to cover next week and this week. And I think this is important. In the next 2 weeks, this week and next week, we'll go over that the singleness is actually not a bad thing. And the reason why I say this is this. So many times, people want to enter a relationship, not because necessarily, oh, they really like that person. Sometimes people get in a relationship because they don't like the idea of like people asking them, huh? Or your mom and dad asking, huh? You're 25 already? Oh, you graduated college and you're not married yet? Something's wrong with you, right? Or they go around with friends and they notice all their friends on Facebook, man, they're engaged. There's pictures of weddings. There's picture of happy people and nice wedding places. Happy pictures of dates and stuff. They're holding hands. Oh, I can't stand it. I need to go find someone to have a relationship, right? And then they find someone that walks over. They don't even like them, right? They're even hairy and they're even scary, but they just want to be married, right? And they enter a relationship just so that people say, hey, I'm valuable, right? Now, talk to me. Are people like that, right? People could be like that where they want a relationship. They want someone to hold their hands just so that people say, hey, I'm worth something. Where they get the worth all from that relationship. Talk to me now. Why are you guys all laughing?
It's like my grandma telling all my older cousins.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, ouch.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, but we get that, right? We get that idea.
Oh.
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 Okay, so let's go back up. So we see that.
We're going, oh.
Oh, what'd you?
Oh. It's a welcoming oh.
Now, here.
Let me just say, it's good to be single.
Now, what I'm saying here is, when I say singleness is a good thing, I'm not saying being in a relationship is a bad thing. I'm not saying that, okay? When I say relationship, being single is a good thing, don't think, oh, Jimmy said being single is a good thing. Oh, Jimmy's married. Oh, that's sinful, right? That's not what I'm saying. Marriage is not sinful. Marriage is good. But I also want to say, some people think, oh, marriage is good, therefore singleness is bad. Like, they, oh, why does God hate me because I'm single? I'm not, first and foremost, the next few weeks, this week and this next week, I want to show from the Bible that the Bible actually says being single is a good thing. But now let me define singleness. Some of us here might be in a relationship. Some of us here might be married. I am married, okay? And I plan to be married until I die or my wife die, whichever comes first, okay? So as a result, and so only one person, okay? So as a result, you might say, and remember I was talking to another guy that came to our Bible study, you know, he's married, he said, why do I need to be here? What is singleness? Someone give me a definition of being single.
Not in a relationship.
By yourself. Okay, that's the definition, right?
That means none of us are single here. Okay.
So I thought about this. What is singleness? This is how I defined it. If you guys follow along on page 4. Singleness is a state of being an individual in which a person is not in a relationship with anyone that can be defined as marriage, dating, or courtship. Okay? So, someone that's alone, not in a relationship that could be defined as marriage, dating, or courtship, okay? Like boyfriend or girlfriend. That's what I call singleness. Now, I want to actually say this. I'm actually excited to talk about singleness because we oftentimes hear, can I say one thing? In terms of, if you ever want to think, pastors could be cardinal, okay? Can I say this? Going to a pastor's conference, to me, opened my eyes to like, wow, some people do the Word of God ministry in a way that's not by the Bible. You go to conferences that teach, how to make your church grow. You know what sometimes they tell us to do? Now, these conferences I go is because I have to, because of the group we are in. Sometimes they say, you know what? When you want your church grow, don't focus on people that are single, because they, single guys, they have problems. I was like, you know, I look over here, and there's a lot of us, a lot of guys that are single, right? They say, focus on the guys that are married, because those guys are the ones that roll in money. Oftentimes, people that are married are statistically much more, have monetary value than, fiscally, than people that are single, young singles. And guys, and they have kids. And then kids, when you bring kids, then other kids invite kids, and then you invite, before you know, you have a big, huge youth group. And that's pretty cardinal, because I realize, oftentimes, you can hear so many messages on marriages, on relationship, yes? When was the last time you actually hear someone taught with singleness also as well? I'm a firm believer that the church is made out of, yes, many people. And I know in our church we have a high proportion of those that are single guys that are not married. That's okay. I'm praying. We're praying. And I know that the prayer of righteous men will avail much. So that's why I'm asking Victor and John to pray also as well, right? But having said all this, it's important to realize singleness is a good thing, okay? And do you guys realize also as well, even if you're married, it might be that this message is relevant. Even if you're engaged, even if you're a boyfriend, girlfriend, this message might be applicable. Because just because you're boyfriend, girlfriend does not mean you'll be forever. Sometimes boyfriend, girlfriend, what ended up happening? They break up. Oh, heartbreakers. I see all these people here that are widow makers and heartbreakers, okay? So sometimes people are engaged, don't end up being engaged, right? They end up being single. Does that happen? Yes, right? Sometimes people are married, end up later on in life being single. Why?
Divorce.
Yeah, divorce, right? Or also someone dies, right?
The other reason is you treat your spouse wrong.
Okay, yeah, okay, right. So we realize this. Now, don't go, I hope no one here goes and say, go home and tell your parents, and then Pastor Link tells them, Jimmy, you're telling people, teaching people how to divorce. I'm not saying this, okay? But sometimes that happens. I don't want anyone to divorce. Matter of fact, if you are in a marriage or a relationship, once a month, people all come to my house once a month, the first Friday of the month, and we have couples meet because I want the marriage to work in whatever else it is, the relationship you are in, and not just to quote-unquote work, but to obey God and follow God's word. I am excited about marriage and singleness about relationship. If there's any one thing that I like more than theology, as much as theology or a little less than theology, it's actually the area of relationship and singleness and all these things. Because why? This is the most area where you see a person's heart, whether or not, right? Who they choose. Will they choose someone that loves God like themselves, or will they choose someone that doesn't, which reveal that they really don't love God as much as they would say they would, right? So in light of this, I realize this message is applicable. Because one day my wife might die more earlier, although statistically, men die usually first, right? And by the way, do you guys know the statistics? When a man dies, correction, not when a man dies. When a man's wife dies, Usually the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years, what happened to the guy? You know what usually would happen? The guy dies too, right? Because the guy, because his wife that helps him out all along, that was his companion, has gone. He no longer has how to do anything for himself. And he dies, right? That's the truth. Usually people that are women, with their husband died first, they usually last longer and they're okay, right? I realized, since I got married, I'm actually more dependent upon my wife. When my wife doesn't come with me to church, man, I don't bring anything home. I leave the paycheck, I leave everything out to church, right? So as a result, that's how God wired us to be, right? So with this topic, I realized, you know what? This message is applicable, because even if you are in a relationship, even if you say, oh, this I know the, is the one. I know this girlfriend is the one, because when I look at her eye twinkles, right? You know, twinkles. Even if you say that works, guess what happened? You never know. Walking out, driving out to Bible study, accident, boom, happened, right? People die all the time, right? You never know what happens. So in light of that, I think it's important to realize, hey, this is applicable if you're married, single, divorced, single as a Pringle, or single as a total single also as well, right? No matter what, realize this is applicable, okay? So the goodness of being single. What does the Word of God reveal, the goodness of being single? Number one reason is, why is singleness good according to the Bible, is singleness allow an individual to have a single mind focus, or single focused mind. Turn with me real quick to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 33 to 34. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 33 to 34. By way of context, who wrote 1 Corinthians?
Apostle Paul.
Good job. Okay. Who did he write this letter to?
The Church of Corinthians.
Yes, very good. Okay, A plus here for all you guys Bible PhDs here. Okay. In 1 Corinthians 7, the topic address is a pretty long verse, right? A chapter. It focuses on a theme of singleness and marriage. Singleness and marriage. And all the various scenarios. People that are married to non-believers, people that are married to believers, people that are divorced, people that are single, you know, that are in a relationship. It's in the midst of this context, we read these words in verses 33 to 34 that establish the point that I have. The first point is that singleness allows an individual to have a single focus of mind. And that's a good thing. Verses 33 to 34, could I have some motivated reader read me verses 33 to 34? Ben Funk.
33 and 34.
Yes.
But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried woman, or a betrothed woman, is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband.
Okay, we'll stop here real quick. So this scenario is a contrast between one who is married, right? According to verse 33, one who is married, what is he concerned about? Verse 33. Of the world, right? Or very specifically, their spouse also as well, or kids also as well, right? And even specifically spelled out how he may please his wife, right? And his interest could easily be divided, right? And then it goes in verse 34, yet in contrast to that, the woman who's married and the virgin is concerned about what? The things of the Lord. By the way, do all single people concern the things of the Lord? It's talking about those that are believers, that do desire to serve God. And that's what we ought to grow to become like. That we want to serve the Lord and please the Lord in all things, right? So she, if that person is single, with no other affair going on, she is able to what? Be concerned about the things of the Lord, verse 34, that she may be holy both in body and spirit. And it goes on and says the same thing reiterated from verse 33 and verses 34, the second half. But the one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how she might please her husband. Now, question. If a wife is married to her husband, is it in of itself wrong to please her husband? In of itself?
No.
Okay? No. It's not. It could be wrong if it's a wrong thing of how to please the husband, right? The only focus, right? The primary focus, right? Now, so don't throw this verse and say, Jimmy, you're a sinner, right? You're married. That's not what the verse is talking about. But I realize also as well, listen, some people at the time that you're in, you might say, at least for me, I look back, you know, thinking about, man, I wish I was in a relationship few years ago, whatever else. I wish I was married. But I look back, I see God is good. He didn't allow me to be married at a time where, well, there was actually a reason. I look back, yeah, I was less responsible. Or He didn't allow me to be in a relationship because I look back, yeah, I was less responsible. I was more of a jerk, right? 100% beef jerky, right? Just total jerk, right? You know, just, yeah, Slim Jim, the yellow wrapper, and everything else, right? So with this, with all that, is to say, you know what? In God's providence, if you cannot, in your time of being single, if you're not responsible right now, if you're not even right now able to live a life please the Lord, what makes you think that you add more responsibility, you'll be a better steward in life, right? That's a general principle in life, right? If you can't be faithful in the small things, you're not trusted in the bigger things. Matter of fact, Jesus said that Himself, right? If someone works at McDonald's and can't even make sure he flipped the burger on time, and do everything else, what makes you think that he could be trusted to be a manager, right? Or even if you're in the Marines, if someone can't be responsible to be a good rifleman, what makes you think that he'll be able to be a good fire team leader or squad leader, right? Same thing, everything in principle in life is also realized as this. Right now, if you're single, perhaps ask yourself the question, are there things that I need to put in my priority in my life right now? Then if you are not in a relationship right now, say, hey, that's not a bad thing. God is allowing me this opportunity to be able to work on things, to put God first. And that way, when a relationship comes, I'll be able to even allow that relationship to put things in God's hands also as well, right? It's been my experience observing people. If someone that's single has God first, and they're really sold out for Jesus, when they are in a relationship, then they want that desire to put Jesus first, it will very likely happen. But if someone in their walk in life, they're single, they're already living all over the place, they're struggling with the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, lust of the pursuit of the world and everything else, and then they're entering a relationship, and their relationship with God is always weak, the relationship to people at church is always weak, very likely when they have that relationship, it's going to get weaker, right? The relationship either magnifies whatever else it is. If they're sold out for God, and they're with someone that's sought after God, their love for the Lord increase. But if they're already not really putting God first, that relationship will magnify that. And now, not only is there one sinner, now there's two sinners, or maybe more sinners will pop up and arise. That will arise also as well. So you see how that's the case. It's important to realize that sometimes being single allows us to work on our priority and get things right. And that's good, a good thing, right? Anyone of you guys here juggle?
Huh?
Juggling. You know, like you grab like multiple things and throw in the air, like, you know. Now, when I was a little kid, this is how bored I was, I guess, because I didn't watch TV much. I actually went to the library and I borrowed a book of how to juggle. Probably the most boringest thing, right? But it was probably a fun summer, at least for 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks without the book, because I started juggling everything, right? At first you start with two, then you realize you can't do with two, then you start with one, right? The book actually started with one, right? And then some of us, level zero, do nothing and think about it, right? So, and then when you start juggling, in the same way, after you could juggle two things, you now add three, four, five, six. Same thing also as well. If you're single right now, see that as a good thing of God, that God allows you to juggle the life well right now, so that if you're able to do it well, God will be able to say, hey, whenever He's ready in His timing, now say, okay, there's now a relationship. You could also, for lack of a better term, an analogy, juggle also as well. Go ahead.
So can you juggle?
So can I juggle? Oh, that was a long time ago. I was like fifth grade or something. Probably not, so. Yeah. So, there's many things you discover in life that you could do once. When you're younger, that when you're older, you can't. So, okay?
So now,
Yes, go ahead.
I'm going to ask you this because I know, like I was talking to you about, like, I was going through a series in the beginning of doing singleness, and one of the things that a couple of people mentioned is you still could feel loneliness even if you're married.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that statement or no?
Yeah, I would say that can happen, but I also think if someone that's married feels lonely, then they probably have a very bad marriage. What they can't blame the other person too is also their own contentment. Also, there's something. If someone is married and they're lonely, that can't happen. But I would actually say there's a problem with that. The problem is they don't see that person as actually their helpmate. But rather than blaming, oh, you know, a man can easily go to you don't please me, that's why I'm lonely. Or wife can do the same thing. Oh, husband, you're bad. You don't, you know, fulfill my emotional tank or whatever else you'd say. But I would actually say the contentment is actually, the very first thing is an internal thing. Right? The Bible actually describes people in very bad external circumstance all the time, and people could be content. I would actually say what's going on, that's actually a big red flag that that person's relationship with God themselves are probably getting very bad, where they don't appreciate, and they're probably even a grudge against the Lord, if not outwardly, even indirectly, like, I'm in this situation, and Lord God, this is not what I desire, and therefore, as a result, I will not choose to be intimate with that person, and as a result, there could be loneliness also as well. Could there be a relationship with a husband is that bad, and a wife really is legitimately lonely? I believe so, to balance what I've said. But I think the contentment always comes within Christ. We'll talk about that actually 3 weeks from now. We'll actually talk about how do singles get contentment, which actually applies also as well for those in relationship. By the way, when people in marriage are not content, that's a really, really dangerous thing. You might say, oh no, it's only inside of my mind. No. If you have that, you're already searching for someone else. That's already a red flag, 1,000 little small steps heading towards adultery already. Go ahead, Ben.
What was the question?
The question is, could there be marriages where people are lonely? One is in a marriage relationship, yeah. Okay. I know it's the audio is kind of hard for you, Ben. We'll definitely load this up tonight. I'll make this the first thing. Second thing of why singleness, Ben?
Probably spoiling ahead of time, but how do you know you can juggle?
How do you know you can juggle? Okay, that's a good question. Talk to your pastor. But practically, I would actually say, you know what? Have you realized this? People that should not be in a relationship are the worst people to tell whether or not they're ready for a relationship. We're not making fun of them. It's just the truth, right? So the question is, how do you know if you're one of those people that you just think you're always ready for a relationship? But I think the good thing is also go to people that know you and ask them also as well to say, do I have responsibility in my life? Go to people that will not please you but will tell you the truth. Siblings are a good place to start. You know, if you have siblings, they just tell you things as it is. I would even say parents also as well, right? But realize the more older in age you are, they're always going to say you're ready. Or say, why is it too late already, right? Your expiration, your clock is ticking or whatever else, okay?
My dad was that otherwise. But
yeah. The other thing I would also say is also examine yourself. Say, in terms of responsibility, if you're a woman, do I show the attributes that are necessary to be not only a wife, but even a mother? Am I caring for people, right? Observe yourself. How do you act even in the church? Do you care for people? If you're a man, right? Or do you take responsibility within even the body of Christ? The church also as well. Who's that?
Who's that?
Okay. So with this, so we see also as well, singleness, man, maybe I should talk more about singleness in marriage. Singleness is a gift of God. Second point, the Bible actually shows singleness is a gift from God, okay? Now, why am I saying all this? We're going to look this week and next week. There's many reasons why the Bible says singleness is not a bad thing. I want to make it very clear. If you guys are single, don't feel sorry for yourself. See, the Bible teaches is actually a good thing. Go ahead, what were you going to say, David?
I was gonna add to that where it says there's an actual passage. I'm not sure what's that verse. It says that singleness is actually a privilege where you use that time to serve.
Yeah. Okay. And that's like, my thunder for the next few weeks. Okay. Yeah.
And it's like that gives you the reason why. Okay, you gotta have a better reason why you should be.
Okay.
You know, taken. You know.
Okay, we'll talk more about that later, guys.
It really taught us not to feel sorry for yourself, but to feel sorry for the people standing in your way.
Wow.
Oh.
Everybody, the people next to Anthony pat him on the back. He said that the Marines taught, Anthony said that the Marines taught him don't feel sorry for yourself. Feel sorry for the people that standing in the path, right? Hey, but if you're in Marines, I actually believe that. Yeah, there's no need to feel sorry for yourself. Feel sorry for everybody else that's going to, like, crumble in front of a Marine Corps advancing infantry battalion. But anyway, that's one other sermon, one other time. But that could also sound really interesting. Okay, so singleness is a gift from God. If you're still in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, scroll up and look with me in chapter 7, verses 7 to 8. And if I could have a happy, motivated reader.
I'll do it.
Okay, read me verses 7 to 8.
But I say to the unmarried and to the widow, that it is good for them if they remain even as I, but if they do not have self-control, let them marry, for it is better married than to burn with passion.
What version are you using, real quick?
I'm using NSAV.
NSAV,
okay.
8, 9, 8, did you read that version? Verses 7 to 7, 8.
Let me read that again. Yet I wish that all men were even as I myself am. However, each man has his own gift from God. One is this manner and another in that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widow, that is good for if they remain even as I.
Yeah. So in this verse, the context is talking about believers, okay? Don't forget, this is talking about the church above believers. Now, if you look again in verse 8, just notice that Paul says that it's actually good to remain unmarried. Now, of course, later you have to balance the Bible hold. Just because it says it's good to be unmarried doesn't mean that, therefore, if you're in marriage, it's bad, right? Remember, like I said earlier? Yeah, if you're unmarried in that specific circumstance, it's good. Yeah, I would actually say if that's the case, they verse abuse that, because in 1 Timothy 3, even in their own Bible, in the Jerusalem Bible, which is the Catholic Bible, 1 Timothy 3, you guys, what Ben is talking about is Catholics can use that verse to say priests should not be married. You guys know I'm a pastor. I'm not a Catholic priest, right? Catholic priests cannot be married. And obviously, as pastor of True Chinese Alliance Church, I am married with ring, with kids, and everything else, right? And a portion of pear tree, right? So with that, the Bible actually says that one of the qualifications for a pastor in 1 Timothy 3 is that that he must actually be a husband of one wife. And it also even described that he has children in verses 4. So obviously, he's actually had relations with his wife, right? So with that, if you read a Jerusalem Bible, the Catholic Bible, the word here, instead of saying overseer, they actually say bishop. So I opened up a Catholic Apologetics Bible one time, and they're over here, it's surprisingly no comment underneath at all to describe this, right? So Catholic did a good job translating that. It's just, that's a good verse to refute them, okay? So Catholic can't use this. Now, it is true, though, being a single is, according to verse 8, it's a good thing with that. But remember, the balance, you cannot say the opposite is false here, right? Therefore, marriage is a bad thing. Note also in verse 7, each individual has a gift from God. Did you guys notice that? It says that each has his own gift, right? Whether single or married, right? Now, that blows my mind away. Because the word there for a gift here is actually the word charisma. 1 Corinthians has a lot to talk about gifts, yes? Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I would say if any book in the Bible talks about gifts the most is what? It's 1 Corinthians. I mean, just scroll down with me. 1 Corinthians 12, right? Talk about spiritual gifts to serve the church. And in 1 Corinthians 13, describe, hey, all this gift is not about yourself. It's you need love with that, right? 1 Corinthians 14 compares some of the gifts of prophecy and of tongues. Now, the word gift is mentioned so much. And I think the timing of this is so nicely, providentially fit in. We're in the middle of December. Christmas is 6 days away. It's a time of gifts, right? People get sad around this time of the month because what? They don't get gifts, right? People count how many gifts they give, right? And then they count how many gifts that actually people give back, and they feel sorry for themselves. At least one time in my own life when I was single, right? And then you realize that's what it is, right? People are sad when they realize they miss the whole spirit about giving, right? 1 Corinthians is about gifts. In the midst of this, so many of us forget the fact that Paul even talks about marriage as a gift, but even singleness is a gift. Listen, when was the last time you thought about the fact that you have, that singleness is a gift? I don't think most of us have thought. Most of us see it as a curse, as a bad thing, right?
Not even Chinese.
Not even Chinese? Why? Okay.
Because...
Okay, let's go back.
Well, singleness is a privilege if you're Chinese, because if you think about it, like, as referring to the how many gifts and everything, I'm going to use that.
Oh, you get red envelopes.
Red envelopes.
But there comes a time when you're old, too old, right? Where you'll be the uncle that has a gift.
I don't get red envelopes anymore.
Now there comes a point where, you know, getting married, I think being Chinese is a gift, right? I mean, there's a lot of hongbao, right? A lot of red envelope, right? Then when you have children, or at least I discovered at Indonesian church, Indonesian Chinese church, they came and Chinese New Year preach a message. They say, "Hey, why don't you preach a message?" And all these single guys, younger guys, came and say, "Hey, where's our red envelope?" I was like, Now let's go back on with the passage here, right? Honestly, when was the last time you thought, "Hey, I'm single and it's a gift from God," right? Some of us here might say it might actually be, "Hey, it's a gift that you need to give yourself this holiday season." If you're in an inappropriate relationship, to break it off and say, "Hey, you know what? I'm giving myself the best gift of all this year. The gift of singleness before the Lord and in all purity," right? Can we get an amen?
Amen.
Okay. Alright. Okay, so we see here that singleness is actually a gift, right? So in terms of practice, what do you understand a gift to be, right? This is one of those gifts that people oftentimes say, "I don't want this gift, God. Anything this year for Christmas but that," right? So what is an understanding of New Testament a gift? I already covered in terms of practice, right? But I think it's important. It should blow our mind away to realize this timing. Yes, being in a relationship is a gift. Being married is also a gift from God. But equally true as well, in the timing of right now, the Bible described this as a gift also as well. Should we go over one more? Do we have time?
Yeah. I was gonna.
Do you guys have like so many questions tonight? Okay. Go ahead, flow the questions, and we'll pick up the rest. Ladies first. But no ladies asking questions tonight. But single guy. Ben Wartz first. B before D. Say one more time, Ben. Yeah, verse 9, I would say this verse is a verse that's often abused. Actually, I think a lot more is going on here in verse 9. Remember, the Bible is oftentimes like a piece of pie, right? Like a puzzle piece. If you only have one puzzle piece and say, you know, like literally you have a puzzle piece of, I don't know, an elephant. And you only look at one puzzle piece and you say, "Oh, an elephant is like just hairy with some blue things on it, which is the sky, whatever else." Then that's, you'll get it wrong. So you always need all the other rest of the Bible has to say. This verse, I would say, is talking about in terms of desire to be with someone. I would say if someone's in want to be interested with someone and they want that person to be married with, they should definitely desire to choose that. Of course, there's a question of wisdom. Are they capable? Are they responsible? Etc. But if you're just only married because you're just such a crazy hormone Neanderthal beast, then you're probably not going to have a very big marriage. Can I say one thing? We live in a very sexualized world, yes?
Yeah.
I mean, you walk, Nancy and I, we drive the church on the 210 freeway down to 605. You can't go down the 605 freeway with all these advertisements of everything sexualized, right? You see a toothpaste commercial and they're sexualized things, right? I mean, golly, do you need, when you brush your teeth, do you need everything to like feel sexy or whatever else, right? You live in a crazy world like that, right? But can I say one thing? I know you guys are single guys, but marriage is not all about sex, okay? Can I say that? Marriage is not all about sex, okay? Now you might say, "Oh, like, no, I'm going to go home sad." That's true. Marriage is not all about sex. By the way, if I could say one thing, I think my wife and I, we have a good relationship. But I could say one thing also as well. Marriage is not all about sex either. I know this might hurt some of you guys because you guys think, "Oh, I can't wait," whatever else. But the truth is this, right, is if you are only just a big hormone machine, you want to just be married just because you want to have sex, then you are probably going to have a very bad marriage relationship also as well. You're going to be so disappointed, okay?
But it's funny because we actually learned, like...
with the rings?
No, like, which person you should be married to from one of my girls.
Oh, really? Oh. Well, time has changed. Okay, that's good.
They're talking to us on, like, our free time.
Okay.
And, like... so, because some people have like relationship problems with Kirjan letters.
Oh,
yeah. And like, he talked to us about like what type of people you should be married to.
By the way, by way of context, Marine Corps at one time has like 80% divorce rate for guys that enlist in the first 4 years and are married. Marine Corps, I remember our senior drill sergeant had a very different speech. He told us that he looked like Vin Diesel. He looks really good. He can't commit suicide. He looks at himself in the mirror and looks in his hand. He's like, "Oh, some lady is going to be blessed by me." And then he goes on to say onwards about, "Hey, you know what? whoever you marry doesn't matter because you could just go ahead and marry another person because you're a Marine. I remember thinking, oh, how sad. But that's good that they now emphasize
older,
honor.
He was an older sergeant.
Okay.
He was only later in his years.
Okay, that's good. That's good. No, that's good. I'm glad because the Marines have a very high divorce rate. Unlike the other sergeants. Yeah, they do. Okay, let's deal with questions. Second question, did you have?
I was going to say, you know, like how you were talking about spiritual gifts and everything. A lot of times people reference or the context of Corinthians 13 as far as the context of love. What is love, you know? And that's what I was going to just throw out.
Okay. Yeah, I know it's all often used, yeah, and the context is really of serving the church, but I think there is application even for marriage. Okay, so any other questions? I think we'll end this outline, and then we'll pick up next week the rest of other reasons why singleness is good. And then the week after that, we'll focus on contentment and singleness. Then we'll also discuss about how to be content with everything else. We'll also talk about purity of singleness. Then we'll talk about, eventually, about a relationship. Boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, that kind of thing, courtship. How does that all look like biblically? I know that's the part we're all looking for, but we have to go to the Old Testament before we get a New Testament, right? Okay, so we have to go through all of the areas first before, you know, the 40 years of wandering before we get to the promised land for some of you guys of the relationship. And after that, we'll also want to talk about marriage too. And last time I've gone through this, I was really blessed. I think the people were blessed. Like I said, all the outlines for the next few weeks, we've already emailed it out. This is the reboot. This is like the Batman reboot version, right? Hopefully modified and better than before. And I'm excited about this. I think the last few years, I've discovered that this topic, the more we think about it biblically, we would actually, we live in an age where biblical view of marriage is attacked, yes? I mean, today, the number one Twitter, what do you call those? Hashtag. You guys know what it is?
Yeah.
Yep.
Hashtag is on a guy with a long beard. I'm not talking about Jesus. What long beard guy?
Oh, the duck guy.
The duck guy, right? The duck man, right? Duck Dynasty, right? That guy. I mean, marriage is attacked like crazy, right? I also believe oftentimes we could just say, oh, I'm going to stay for a biblical view of marriage. But I also think it's important. Don't just only understand biblical view of marriage and relationship to say, oh, that's how we tell other people that they're wrong. But the most important thing the world needs is to see the biblical portrait. I think the best way to show why we don't want to have homosexuality, yes, but the best way to show that, it's not just want to say, oh, it's wrong, and get the Bible, just beat someone up with it. I think the best thing is also show, you know what, the biblical portrait of marriage, of relationship, of singleness, is so beautiful, it's so pretty, why wouldn't you want to follow God's way, right? And when you see this, you can't help but see you apply for your lives first. And most people in this world would never see the Bible, right? Most of our coworkers, they're not Christian. They might not read the Bible, friends, whatever else. They might never, ever read the Bible. You're talking about the Bible, 1 Corinthians, what? They're like, what are you talking about? You're talking la-la land, alien language, right? And you're like, oh yeah, that's exactly the theme of 1 Corinthians 12, right? They want to make sure you live this out so they see the biblical portrait. So they can say, yeah, I disagree, but I see the beauty of following things and doing things God's way, right? May we never forget all of this thing. Don't just say, oh, it's for other people. Oh, I'm no longer single. If you're, you know, oh, I'm Jimmy. I'm no longer single. Ha, guys, I have the ring. And say, this is all for you guys, suckers, or whatever else, right? That's not the way it is. We need to apply this, understand this, and know how to minister to others, even if you're not single. And with the realization that, hey, your spouse, your fiance, your girlfriend might die before you, or it breaks up, whatever else. And we still need to be, if we're single, to still live it out godly. Amen?
Amen.
Let's close in a word.